strikes so lightning bolt can tear us down. So we're doing this.
It's a good app.
Yes. Special app.
Let's just continue where Brother Joshua is. Matthew 6, 33. To the fact that when I open the Word and think about the Word, this idea, this I don't think it's a doctrine. It's just an idea. It's a practice. Faithfulness. At camp, I just kind of started. I wrote it down on a yellow sticky and just kind of when a verse came, I'm still doing it right now because I'm trying to put together a paper and just write a paper on what faithfulness is. It's something that in my life I have not done. And when I think about it, there's no reason why except for myself. There's no reason why I haven't been faithful except because of my selfishness. So in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Brother Josh just read it. I'll read it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Most kind and precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to be here gathered in your name, Father, giving us this place, this physical buildings to worship and serve you in, Father. I pray, Lord, that you be with us now as we enter into classes. I pray, Father, that you just bless us according to your will. Help us to always be mindful of the sacrifice that was made 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Help us to never forget the price that was paid, not only for our souls, but for this church, for the word that we have. I pray, Father, you help us to carry out things according to your will. Be with the organization, and I thank you for thus far blessing that work, and I pray that you continue to bless the work and Brother Dave. And in your name, I pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. So faithfulness, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Brother Ron, will you read that for us?
Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. And this is your wisdom, your understanding, and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?
So this is a call to faithfulness, I believe. And I mean, you can keep reading in the book of Deuteronomy, but you're faithful to the Lord, and he'll bless you. And you're unfaithful to the Lord, he's going to curse you. And it's a common thing. It's a common thing.
What passage was that again?
That was Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And it's to Israel. It is a call to faithfulness, if you read it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. And when they shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation, This great nation is a wise and understanding people, is what it says. That other people will say about the nation of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but I take the promises of God of Old Testament and kind of say, yep, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. The same promises, you know. Not to say that to your own horn, everyone's going to think I'm wise and understanding and I'm great. But us as a body, I think it's important to look at the example that we have. And through Israel, we can see that unfaithfulness leads to destruction. Not only in I'm talking faithfulness, not just in what I do, and we'll get into this a little bit more. But what I think, and so my physical life, all of my physical life, all of my spiritual life, I'm faithful in everything. Paul says, right? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Awesome. Brother Travis, we read verses 9 through 12.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness.
So we see here Paul is exhorting them to faithfulness. And in that faithfulness, if you are faithful, you will be fruitful because of your faithfulness. There will be meat. There will be evidence of the fact that you are faithful. And Paul didn't stop praying for them that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He didn't stop praying for them. It's not something that, so, I mean, the work in LeGrand, let's use them as an example. They're going to organize into a church. Should we stop praying for them as a work? Paul didn't stop praying for these people that he knew, people that he didn't know. He wanted them to be fruitful because of their faithfulness. So faithfulness will cause you to be fruitful and not unbarren. And that was one of the things that Jesus kind of, I believe that Jesus stressed to the disciples, especially the 11, minus one, to be fruitful. He wanted them to be fruitful. I'm the vine and you're the branches, right? And if there's a branch that's not producing fruit, it's going to be cut off and burned. So fruitfulness to Paul was important. Fruitfulness to Jesus Christ was important. I don't think there's anybody in here that would disagree with me, and you'll know where I'm going when I say this. They would disagree with me that being faithful is a good thing. I'll close my eyes and you raise your hand if you think it is. If it's a bad thing to be faithful. So let's turn over to James chapter 4. So I kind of struggled with this verse. I didn't just want to throw it in there willy-nilly. I kind of wanted to, I mean, I asked the question, do you think that faithfulness is a good thing? Nobody said no. Sister Lonnie, will you read verse 17 of James chapter 4?
Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
So it's just like committing doing bad things. Not doing something that you know is right is bad also, is what really Jesus is trying to tell us here. One of the things about this verse is the therefore. So because of what? Because of what he just said. And what did he just say?
He's saying in verse 13, you know, you people that say, I'm going to go to this city, continue in here, and I'm going to buy, sell, and get gain, but you know not that your life is just a vapor.
That's right. So they're being faithful in the world. They're being faithful in worldliness, essentially. I mean, Is it a bad thing for me to go in there for them to do that? Is that a bad thing? No, but what the bad thing is that they're putting off Christ and being faithful to Christ so that they can do those things is I think what's being brought out here. So because of what was just said, like Brother Travis said. So let's continue on. Are there any questions up to this point? Yeah,
Brother Travis. Well, we just read in Colossians in this verse right here.
Okay.
If we read over in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is wisdom, is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding." A lot of young men or a lot of men will answer the call to the ministry thinking that conviction from God to be wise and to be fruitful in the Word of God, they think that's a call to ministry. When, in all reality, it's what these verses are talking about, especially Colossians. God wants His people to grow in knowledge and understanding of His Word and of Him. And when we get a healthy fear of God and we start reading more of the Bible, then our wisdom and our understanding will grow, and He'll convict us and He'll lead us to grow in that wisdom and knowledge. And that's why you see a lot of guys, I'm a preacher. Well, in all reality, he may not be. He may just be convicting you to know more so you can teach more. And that's looking in the scriptures, you can see God wants His people to grow in knowledge. And to get there, God is going to be the one, learn a bit more. Okay, you're doing good, learn a bit more. And He'll be the one leading us in that increasing of the knowledge.
Absolutely. Through His Holy Spirit, right? Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I wrestled with this or Jonah. This was one verse, and Jonah was three chapters. So I decided one verse for class is probably a little bit better. We can talk about Jonah after we get here. Sister Lonnie, did you read? Sister Kathleen, will you read 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23?
15 or 13?
15?
15.
22 and 23.
So it came to pass on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of many people that were with Saul. And Jonathan,
First Samuel chapter 15.
Oh, I was reading 13.
It's okay.
Sorry. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king."
So we all know, I hope we all know about Saul and what he did here. I think we can say that if God hadn't already said this when Jonah was around, he might have said it to Jonah. Because we were talking about Jonah the other day. God said, "Hey, go." And he said, "Hey, no." And he went the other way. That's unfaithfulness. I mean, God, to know the will of the Lord, I think you need to be faithful. His unwritten will. The will for Him, specifically for you and your life. You need to be faithful to the Lord and be able to understand that. But I think, if you're unwilling to follow that, the will of the Lord in your life, which He calls us all to faith. If you're saved, baptized in a Testament church member, you're called to faithfulness. You are already called to faithfulness. Brother Travis, you quote it all the time. The callings of the Lord are
without repentance.
He's not going to call you to be a church member to not be faithful. You are already called to be faithful. I love the message that was brought this morning, and I stole stuff from your message for my notes and stuff. I have been for a couple weeks. But, you, we'll say again, you can't, continue in that sanctification process if you're unwilling to be faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
Not just what I do, what I say, but spiritually faithful to the Lord. I'm going to be faithful, Lord. I'm going to be faithful, Lord. It's hard to don't mind. Let's go, James. James. James chapter 1 and verse 8. Brother Dan, will you read chapter 1 and verse 8 of James?
A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
I don't like to read this verse to myself. I don't, right? Because I don't think there's been a sustained period of time in my life where I haven't been pretty double-minded. In the fact that Christ has called me to faithfulness, and I can be pretty unfaithful in doing the will of the Lord in my life. That's not to say I haven't been here and there, but that's pretty wishy-washy, right, Brother Chad? I mean, we've had these conversations before, you and I. Don't mind me, I'm unstable in all ways. I'm saved, I'm baptized, I'm a New Testament church member, I come to church on Sunday twice, I come to church on Wednesday, I come to Bible study sometimes, I don't come to visitation. Right. So you get, oh. And that's why I don't want to read it. I want to be confronted with it. I want to hear it. We need to hear these things. We need to be admonished one of another. Confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another is not saying, you know, I really have a problem with this sin. It's saying, hey, I really have a problem with coming to Bible study. I don't want to come to Bible study. I like Tuesdays. My favorite show is on Tuesdays. And twice a month, I'm going to miss it. Brother Travis, will you help me? That's a fault. That is a fault, right? And yes, that fault can become sin, but it's not necessarily a sin right away. That's just an example. Brother Travis.
I always say it for a reason. These little verses are cool. I think God led the interpreters of the Bible to make little verses here and there that are hard to forget. Like Hebrews 4:12, how it just came right to the bones and marrow, get to my soul. These stinking little verses.
Yep.
That you get to Psalms 119, and that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then every time I'm in your case, I'm like, well, I don't really want to. Double my hands and say one all the way. It's like it immediately pops up in my head. I'm like, why, God, did you have to make these verses so small and easy to remember?
Yeah.
Now I have to be there for him that knows to be good and do it not in the sin. So it's like, oh yeah, I better just do it. Because,
you know
if you sin, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
And is unfaithfulness, I said at the beginning, unfaithfulness is not because spiritually I don't want to. It's physically, I don't want to. I don't, with my kid, if I'm like, hey, Anna, you need to go clean up your room, and she's like, no, I don't want to. Go clean up your room, now I'm going to make you. You know, you want the Lord to grab you by the hand and start dragging you around? I mean, that's what I picture in my head. But, okay, let's move on, unless there's any other. Did you have something more?
So when I look at Matthew 20:16, where few are going to be chosen, when you're called, that's right now, few are going to be chosen, that's in the future, correct?
Okay.
So those that are chosen are the faithful.
Okay.
So there are many that are called.
That's right.
Those are just, yeah, you're there, but you're just not faithful.
Yeah.
Am I getting that right? We have a current and a future there in
That's the way I've always been taught it. I don't think anybody's, you're drawn to salvation. I don't think that you're necessarily called to salvation. You're called to be a church member. And you're chosen to be part of the bride. Is that right, Brother Burnett? Is that?
Yeah, I don't know that you're going to find that consistent in the language that's used all the time. The context, though, is going to bear out, especially in that passage where Sister Catherine's talking about. Those that are chosen have responded. It's not that God, and in a most basic manner, God doesn't, I mean, choosing is comes from, and it is progressive, in that the call has to be made first.
Okay.
And then there's going to, the ones God is going to choose and that he's going to reward and that he's going to go further with are those that have responded from the first time. And the whole confusion about choosing an election and God doing all that, well, God does some and not others, comes from the idea of that the Calvinists have, that it isn't any of our choice, isn't any of our responding, it isn't any of our doing.
Yeah.
God doesn't do it because of our good works. But he's not going to reward anybody who's not faithful, which I think is the point that you're bringing out and getting to.
Yes.
And that passage of Scripture bears that out in the same way. Many are called. God makes available not only salvation, but after salvation. He calls all men. But he's only going to choose and reward and give the honor to those that respond and those that are faithful to it.
Yes, that's awesome.
Say that again, brother.
Hence his bride.
Yeah.
As you get those 10 virgins, 5 were faithful with their oil and 5 were not.
That's right.
He chose the ones that were prepared and not just there because they wanted to be there, but there because they were looking ahead and wanted to be faithful because of this.
And that's a good illustration of it. It was available to all 10 of them. They had a calling went out that all 10 could acknowledge, but only 5 of them were chosen.
Only 5 were prepared.
Yeah.
Prepared themselves. Okay. Any other questions about calling and choosing? Okay. Hebrews chapter 10. Dodson, will you read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 31?
One of us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to promise. And let us consider one another to provoke him to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking forward judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And then, far you don't hear me.
Oh, that's probably good. That's probably fine right there. Verse 31 just says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. verses 23 through 25 are a call to faithfulness. Would you agree? Everybody in the class? And then verses 26 and 27. Usually when verse 26 is brought out, it's brought out by itself. Now that I've kind of bang my head against this page for a while. Verse 26, we usually hear it. For if we sin willfully, there remain no more sacrifice of sins. We hear that all the time. At the end of that verse, is it a period? Does anybody have a period in their Bible? It's a comma. So, I don't know if you know that. But the verses, the chapter and verses divisions were already there before they interpreted the King James Version. They were already there. And Brother Burnett, you know, there's sometimes we said unfortunate chapter division. I don't know if this is an unfortunate verse division. All the rest of the verses around it, except for maybe verse 29, are kind of about the same size as 26 and 27. But 27 is a continuation of verse 26. It's not that there's not just no sacrifice. It's that there's judgment and firing indignation because of that. You can't, and I'm going to be careful in the future of just pointing one of these verses out without the other, because they go with each other. Verse 27 is a continuation of verse 26. Judgment and fiery indignation because you're sinning willfully. And right before it talks about willful sin, it calls us to faithfulness. We all just agreed that that was a call to faithfulness. Unfaithfulness is willful sin, and willful sin will bring about indignation and, no, judgment and fiery indignation. Judgment, that can be good or bad. For a saved person, good or bad. For a church member, good or bad. Fiery indignation, that doesn't sound good, right? So unfaithfulness is willful sin. Is definitely what, and it's going to bring fiery indignation. I just wanted to make sure we understand.
Displeasure
against
sin.
He gets upset. But yeah, I think he gets, we've heard it brought out within the last couple of weeks, I think he gets more upset when his people sin than when the people in the world sin. We are not called unto wrath. The Bible says over and over again. We're not called to this fiery indignation. The fiery indignation is what's going to devour the adversary. It's not meant for us. So, and I'm not talking just tribulation or anything like that. I'm saying it's not going to be a nice, calm area to be during my judgment at the judgment seat of Christ if I am sinning willfully and being unfaithful. I don't know. I used to try to comfort myself into thinking, well, I'm a church member. At least I'm doing something right for the Lord. This is completely contrary to that, I've learned. Brother Travis.
Verse 26, the four, or because of.
Because of.
Verse 23, 24, and 25.
Yep.
Especially 23, where it says, let us hold fast our profession, the profession of our faith, without wavering. How many testimonies have we heard where I'm up and down for God? I'm up and down for God. Well, that's a sin.
That is a sin.
Because that's wavering in our faithfulness. Now, I'm not saying that. It's not that you're going to die because of that, but we shouldn't be wavering. Because Brother Doug even said this morning, we shouldn't be ignorant. If anything, we should be responsible with the Word of God. And if we experience sin in our lives, then we should fall and get down. It says in the Bible, lift up the hands which hang down and strengthen the knees that are weak. You know, it's not always easy, but sometimes you just got to find another notch in your belt and tighten up and keep going. And trying to remain at that bar of faithfulness that God wants you to be.
Yeah.
And it's not always going to be easy. And you are going to trip and fall. But that doesn't mean your faith is going to waver. Your faith shouldn't waver.
Faith shouldn't waver. One of the verses I stole from our pastor last Sunday morning before I got sick was Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2. And you guys can turn there if you want. I can show it to you in my Bible. It's right here. It's highlighted. I haven't had a highlighter in my Bible since I lived with Brother Ron. And that was over 6 years ago. Yeah, he stole mine. No. It just ran out and I haven't replaced it. It ran out, I haven't replaced it. What I'm saying is that I highlighted this verse at least 6 years ago. At least 6 years ago. If not seven. Closer to seven probably than six. I did not consider this verse until Sunday.
Which verse was it?
Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2. Brother Travis just said, how many testimonies did we hear? I'm up and down for God. You know, I'm high and I'm low and I'm high and I'm low. And I'm there and I'm not. I'm there and I'm not. Verse 16 kind of... Nope, sorry. Verse 3... of chapter 16 of Proverbs. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Committing thy works unto the Lord is being faithful unto the Lord, and then he's going to help your mind not be controlled by, Lucifer? Right? Okay, so Hebrews chapter 2. Does anybody have any comments about
just one thought.
Mind control or verse 2 is great. And the thing about verse 2 is all, hey, your ways are pretty good in your own eyes, but commit your works unto the Lord, and He's going to get those thoughts in order and those thoughts right for you.
God's not
a
respecter of persons.
Nope.
Doesn't matter whether you're saved, baptized church member, or whether you're saved outside of church.
Yeah.
I'd like to put it, we're saved, baptized church member, and we know we're in the truth and so forth. And again, if you've already been mentioning out, if we're not walking faithfully, I am no different than someone that's that is outside of this church, in another church, trying to serve the Lord according to His will, according to their will, rather than the Lord's will.
Yeah.
And again, when I stand before my God in judgment, I may be standing out there with the rest of them on the outside and looking at it.
I don't know if you remember, I've said it to you one time. It's the only time I've ever said anything like that. But I said, I don't know, I'm probably not going to be in the bride, but I bet you I'm a little bit better off than somebody who's just saved because I'm a baptized church member. I don't know if you remember me saying that to you, but I said, it was a while ago, but I said it. And it's like, since I said that, this has been this, every, open the door, faithful. Dang it. It's not true. Don't allow yourself to be fooled, because Brother Ron is exactly right.
It's no different than the Israelites thought that they'd hang on the coattails of their genealogy and be part of God's people.
Don't say to me that you have Abraham, what John the Baptist said to him. Don't say to me you have Abraham as your father, because he's able to raise up these stones, these rocks. These lifeless things. Don't fool yourself. We're not any better off than Israel was. We're not. We're not any better off. Okay. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. I think we're on Brother Barnett.
2 and verse 1?
Yes, sir.
Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
Okay, so here's getting to my favorite part of the lesson where I start looking words up. So it says, therefore, Brother Travis and I kind of already had a conversation of therefore means because of, well, because of what? Well, because of what it was just saying. And I'll paraphrase it for you. So because of chapter 1, because of Christ's superiority over everything, His power and His might. There's probably a couple other things in there, but Christ is superior to everything, to everyone. He's the creator. He's more powerful than everything, and He has a lot of might. So that's what it's saying. This is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. So Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 starts out with therefore, and it's therefore. So because Christ is superior and powerful and mighty, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Okay. Verse 1 is saying, be faithful, earnest heed. So I went ahead and looked up earnest. It's say again, brother. Yeah. Look at it. I'll read it for you. It says more earnest. So pay attention to when I read this. It's Greek word 4056. More superabundantly, more abundant, the more earnest, exceedingly more frequent, much more, the rather. Was there a word in there that was kind of more, superabundantly, more frequent,
much.
Exceedingly, much more? So, yeah, that's what it's saying. And then, so earnest heed, it says, okay, heed is a Greek word, 4337, to hold the mind towards, pay attention to, be conscious about, apply oneself to, adhere to, give, attend, be aware, be given to, give heed, take, or have regard. These are, dang it, you know, for myself, it's like, oh man, I haven't been doing that. These are very, very pointed and straight and like hard. They're big. It's more than just a little Ernestine. Okay, I can skim right over that. It's a lot that goes into it, Brother Travis.
Well, it says, take heed to the things which we have heard, and those apostles in that first church were repeating the words of Christ as they learned them from Christ.
From Christ.
And then we today are to learn the things from Christ as they have been taught through the ages.
Yep.
So those things which we have heard are the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Yep, all of them, right?
God.
Yep. Yep. Any other comments? Slip. Slip is the one that I looked up first. I really was like, slip. All right. I can picture it, you know, lest they slip. It's not everything is like riding a bike, right? Where you just get back on it. I'm going to ride my bike. Brother Travis said to me this morning, I haven't shot my bow. And my reaction was, ooh. You know, because we have about 5 weeks until he needs to go shoot it in the woods. And then, that can slip, right? Slip is 3901. It's really short. To flow by or carelessly pass. That was like a dagger in my heart.
You know, lose it.
But carelessly. Yes, it's Sister Catherine.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was blessed with a great mentor and being visited on Thursday. And one thing I shared with my visitors was being out of the church, that exact thing happened. And even though, you know, many, many verses and would go through my mind and stuff, coming back to church, I would be like, now where is that? If I would have never left, I would know exactly where it was. That right there is slip. I think that's slip.
Exactly. But we, without even leaving church, can let it slip. Carelessly pass. All you have to do is be. What do you have to do to become backslidden, Brother Travis?
Just show up.
Just come.
Just show up.
You don't really have to do anything at all.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Just show up.
More super exceedingly, more abundant, more earnest. Exceedingly more. More frequent, much more. More. You have to do something. You have to be in here. You have to give more. Do more. Any other? I completely agree with you on that one.
My grandma's words of wisdom, Sister Betty, idle hands are the devil's workshop. She used to always tell us that at her house. You always get to doing something, you're going to get in trouble. We never did figure it out, but she always said, and you get older and you're like, yeah, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Because if they ain't working for God, what are you doing?
Slipping. And letting the Satan creep in. Completely agree. Okay. Romans chapter 1. Excuse me. Romans chapter 12. We have to. If you're talking about faithfulness, I don't see how you can get around. I don't see how you can bring a good lesson if you don't go there first. But Romans chapter 12 and the first one. Sister Mabel.
First one?
Yeah.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
I was just kind of joking about it, but I mean, if you want to talk about being faithful, reasonable service, I mean, let's put it in a physical sense. My work expects me to show up at a certain time. I need to work for 8 hours. Not including a half-hour lunch break that they do not pay me for. So I'm there for about 8.5 hours, and then I leave. That's my reasonable service, as long as I'm working in those blocks of time that I'm supposed to be working. Unreasonable service would be, like some people that I work with, they show up late, kind of take a two-hour lunch, come back for a little bit, and then go home. And who knows what they got accomplished. That's unreasonable service.
Slacker.
This is another, I went ahead and looked it up because we see this verse all the time, but reasonable is the word that I kind of looked up. But I think we can look at this verse, and that reasonable is just kind of one of those words. Lonnie, I told you when I was study this out. It's the only time that the word reasonable is used in the Bible. So it should be one of those words you're like, weird. It's kind of weird. Because there's words that are used a lot. You go through the concordance, you're like, man, 3 pages for that word? Look up Jesus. Look how many pages Jesus did. I mean, there's words that are used a lot. There's words that aren't used so much. Reasonable is not used, except for this one time, and it's 30, 50, and it's rationable, reasonable, and this is the one that got me, logical. So it's supposed to make sense to you, right? Logical to make sense to you in that because of the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I think we all understand the picture of a sacrifice, and I think we all understand Christ, Paul's attitude about his service to the Lord, about his faithfulness to the Lord. He presented his body as a living sacrifice. I mean, Paul wrote this. Paul was not one of those guys that would ask you to do something without doing it himself already before he asked you to do it. He's not even the guy that would say, hey, let's both do this together. No, that's not how Paul operated. Paul operated on the fact, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul is a great example of faithfulness. I think there's others that are great examples of faithfulness. There are people, Brother Josh brought a lesson on it, I'm pretty, if I remember right, there are people that Paul mentioned in the epistles. There are people that Paul mentioned more than in one epistle. He mentioned them in 2 or 3 epistles. If we were back there, or if Paul was here today and he's writing epistles, which that doesn't make sense, but if we were back there and you were hanging out with Paul, would you be one of the ones that Paul mentioned? In a good way, because there's other people they mentioned in a bad way. Stay away from Lucas, because he doesn't know what he's talking about. But you understand, those people, I mean, we don't know much about these people, but if Paul was going to mention them in an epistle as an example to others, I think that they'd be pretty faithful. Let's turn over to Psalm 77, verse 13, and just close it out with this one. I don't know if anybody, since camp or any, I'm sure sometime in your life, there's been a point in your life where you're praying and you pray for something and you realize that you haven't been praying for that and you should have been. Or, to put it a different way, it's something that you don't really think about that often. Because it's just there. I'm ashamed to say it, but I was praying 3 nights ago, in bed, getting ready to go to sleep, and I thanked the Lord for my kids. And I realized that I had not thanked the Lord for my kids in a pretty long time. It's been a hard couple of years for us here. But just realizing that there's things that I have not been doing. I mean, that's a personal one. But there's things that I don't do for the Lord every day. There's things that I could do for the Lord every day. But why? Why should you be faithful to the Lord? Because. Not because I think that it's a good idea. Not because Brother Burnett thinks, hey, you should be more faithful. Not because it'll get more people in the door. Not because of anything, but because of Psalm 77 and verse 13. Brother Calvin, will you read that for us?
The way, O God, is the sanctuary, who is so great, the God is our God.
Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. He was crucified, buried, and rose again, and completed something that had been 4,000 years in the making, and 2,000 years since. Everybody that's ever been saved is because of that blood of Jesus Christ. You're saved because of that blood of Jesus Christ. We're able to be here, gathered together in one body because of that blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ suffered more than anybody ever has. And who is so great a God as our God? Who is so great a God as our God? For that alone, we should be willing to be faithful to Him. We should be willing, because of His sacrifice, we should be willing to sacrifice what I feel like I want to do, where I want to be, who I want to hang out with, the words I want to say, the music I want to listen to. There's so many things that can influence in this life. The real influence in our life should be Christ. The real thought should be from from what he did for us. When we don't, it's willful sin. When we don't. Yes.
So, faith is something so important, the evidence of things unseen. Are they going to remain unseen until we...
No.
So if something becomes seen...
Then why do we get hurt for it?
Will anything become seen now? It will. So you don't have to have faith anymore?
You won't have to... In heaven, we won't have to have faith, and we won't have to have hope. Faith will decide,
so
hope is no more hope.
Everything will remain unseen until... Everything will remain unseen until then.
Things that are unseen will remain unseen. Then he that letteth will let. So I'm pretty sure it says...
Things that remain unseen, we have promises. We can have an understanding of that. I don't think that's what the Bible so much is talking about, just the invisible things, because we... things that are unknown, because we wouldn't have any hope or expectation of them if we're ignorant of them. Those are the promises that God gives to us. The knowledge that we have now has to be based on the truth of God's word, and we respond to that in faith, still being unanswered or unexperienced, but we have a knowledge of it. I don't know if I understand fully or am able to communicate what Sister Catherine's asking about, but faith, evidence of things unseen, we've got to have a knowledge or a promise of it that we look forward to that gives us the motivation to be faithful to Him. And that's because those promises aren't going to be fulfilled or realized until that time. So we'll always have faith and hope until that time. The more knowledge we have, the greater our faith should be. It doesn't give us reason not to have faith anymore.
Yep, completely. I could have said that. No,
is
yes.
It still faith after we've seen an answered prayer?
That'll build our faith.
Pray for something and another. We still have to have faith in it when the Lord answers our prayer? No.
No,
that does build our faith.
It builds our faith.
Because of it being proved.
God proves to us. It's the evidence of things not seen. When we do, God allows us things like answered prayers, like girlfriend alive, and things that we ask Him for. That's not faith anymore. That's God proving to us. That's the evidence of
faith.
The evidence of faith. That's the evidence of faith not seen.
When they become seen.
When they become seen. When God answers our prayers, when God shows us things.
That's the fulfillment, but it is a motivation, it ought to be, for us to continue in faithfulness and to strive even for those things that we've not experienced yet. Because there's still going to be promises, there's still going to be things in our life that we strive for. We looked at that verse of scripture, I think it was in Philippians or Colossians this morning, toward the end of Paul's life, I haven't yet apprehended. He can consider himself perfect because of the knowledge and the commitment that he made to God, but there were still things unrealized, unfulfilled.
Because he had, no matter how much Paul had done, he still had that attitude.
Sure.
I'm not there yet. I haven't got that yet.
You
I'm
live
not
with
there.
The anticipation.
I could only imagine. He'd be pretty, I don't know, Paul. Just a man, but a man on fire for the Lord for a very long time. Anything else, any closing statements? I encourage you to be faithful. Remember, I keep going back to that Proverbs 16:3. My thoughts, I don't want to. Commit your ways unto Him. And those thoughts will be established. So he'll establish those thoughts. So in that, Brother Ron, we lead us in prayer. Sure.
Oh, Lord, Father in heaven, again, approach your throne of grace. We thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity we've had to look into your word. We thank you for the access we have to it, Lord, the full manner, Lord, versus those of the old brethren in the Old Testament, Lord, who didn't have the full truths of your word, Lord. Had what they needed, Lord, to bring them to a saving grace and a faithful service to you, Lord. We just thank you, Father, of all generations we're going to be held more accountable because we have you completely, Lord. We just pray, Father, as it's been mentioned here tonight, Lord, that we take a more earnest heed to those things that we've been taught and learned. And, Father, we don't let them slip, Father, that when you do return, we can find faithful faith on the earth. And I just pray, Father, that we must be those that are caught unawares, Lord, that we will be found faithful in serving you in a manner, Father, that is pleasing to you. And we pray these prayers and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
I even like got one and put it. I just keep them in there. I don't know, and I have not highlighted the verse since I was in there. It's like when he read that last Sunday morning, and I'm saying like that's highlighted. I've never really fully considered that verse.
I guarantee you can wait an hour. Hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes if you need to sit there. Good evening. Let's grab the Heavenly Highway hymnal.